Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Linda. Beautiful job this morning. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. We want to get to know you a little bit better, and so there's a QR code in the pew in front of you and on the screen. If you'll scan that, answer a couple of questions just so we can get to know you. At the end of the service, you'll come out here to our Welcome Center. We have a gift saying thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's going to be a great morning together. Let's stand together as we worship, singing Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Let's sing it together.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came of joy on my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which are many, are all washed away. Since Jesus shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Came into my heart. Floods of joy are my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Take a few moments and greet somebody around you this morning. Let's sing that chorus together. Here we go.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy are my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my
aren't you thankful for that this morning, church? Amen.
good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
This great hymn of the faith, revive us again. We praise thee.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love, may soul be revived.
sing it again.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen, amen. It's always our prayer as we come to worship that we leave different than how we came. And so as we sing this next song, may this be our prayer. We ask God to change us from the inside out so we can bring Him glory and honor forever.
Caught in your grace, everlasting grace.
how great it is that we can come and give our praise to the only one who's worthy to be praised. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we welcome you here. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. We welcome those of you who are watching online with us. We pray that wherever you are, that you can feel the Holy Spirit in the presence of the Lord. But I'm so grateful we have a time each week where if you feel led by the Spirit, can come to this altar and pray. And just singing the words of that song, the cry of my heart, is to give you praise. But we have to release control. Maybe you're here today and you're allowing something or someone else be in control of your life. The ultimate surrender is when we can give it all to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust in you, and I pray for your perfect will to be done and not my own. So if you're here this morning in this place and you feel led to come and kneel at this altar, you may stand, you can pray from your seat. I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we come today with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, blessed hearts. But Lord, there are some here or watching that have broken hearts, heavy hearts, concerned hearts, grieving hearts. Lord, I pray that wherever we may be today, we know that you are close to the brokenhearted. And we come to you humbling ourselves before an almighty God, asking that you would lift us up, God. Lord, I pray for these that have gathered at the altar, people praying from their seats or folks that are watching. You know what's going on, God, but yet we cry out to you. We cry out in our pain. Lord, we cry out in our grief and suffering. Lord, I pray for folks that are grieving the loss of a loved one and ask that you would comfort them and give them peace in the midst of this storm. Father, we pray for families that have loved ones in the hospital recovering from surgeries, facing surgeries. We pray, God, if it be your will to heal them completely, that you would be glorified in and through it, and that people might be saved as a result of your divine power. Father, we pray for marriages that need to be healed, relationships that need to be reconciled, addictions that need to be broken, depression that needs to be lifted. We pray, O God, for miracles of healing today in many different ways and many different forms, because we know you are able. And so, Father, we pray in the strong name of Jesus for your perfect will to be done. Father, we lift up Israel to you today. And Father, we grieve with those innocent people that have been killed and lives that have been lost. And we pray, God, that you would give wisdom and bring protection and show us what our response to be should be, God, as we support Israel. And we pray, God, you would convict the hearts of those terrorists. And Father, again, we pray that you would bring hope through this difficult, trying time of war. Father, we just pray again for this church that we might continue to be a lighthouse on this hill, shining, drawing people to Jesus, who is our only hope. So I pray, O God, now for your Holy Spirit to continue to move through this service, that you would sing through Sean and, Father, speak through JT and speak to our hearts, God, that we would be drawn closer to you, or that someone might come to Jesus today. We'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Again, we're so grateful that you're here today, and I'm so grateful in a moment that Sean is going to be coming to lead us in a beautiful song, and that JT Coleman, our student minister, is coming to preach. And JT, thank you for your willingness to speak today, and at this time, if you would come to share your scripture.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to share with you our scripture passage this morning. Kind of where we're going to hang out is in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heavens, my true home, when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I'll live my life for you.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in his sanctuary. Hallelujah in his mighty heavens. Hallelujah for his acts of power. Hallelujah for his surpassing greatness. Hallelujah with the sounding of the trumpet. Hallelujah with the harp and the lyre. Hallelujah with timbrel and dancing. Hallelujah with the strings and pipe. Hallelujah with the clash of cymbals. Hallelujah with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The goodness of our God knows no bounds, church. The goodness of our God knows no bounds. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. His power is beyond that of our wildest imaginations. He looked at Job and he asked Job, do you have an arm like God's? Do you have a voice that can thunder like his? Can you pull Leviathan up with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? And God's mercy is just as vast as his power. In 2 Peter 3:9, it's written, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's how vast his mercy is. How about his love? Paul writes in Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning I want to talk to you all about the purpose of praise. About the purpose of praise. And to explore the question, what does it mean to praise the Lord? This is a question that gets twisted and misunderstood a lot by secular culture. But I want to dive into it this morning because many of you may not have thought about what praising God is. There may be someone here who has been a Christian for a long time but has lost the sight of the purpose of praise. Now, Psalm 150 is purely a psalm of praise. You'd agree? Yeah. And so it's appropriate for a psalm of praise like Psalm 150 to finish out the book of Psalms. There are four movements within Psalm 150. The first is that we praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. This emphasizes where we are to praise him. Now for us on earth, it is anywhere and everywhere. But we have to recognize God's heavenly places. We got to recognize the glory that exists in heaven and in his throne room. The second movement of the psalm is praise him in his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Our God is greater than any earthly power for sure. God is greater than any cosmic power. God is the originator of all things spiritual, and thus he is greater than any dimension that we could possibly be surrounded by. The third movement, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Put your energy and your effort into praising God through the creativity that you have inherited by being made in his image. Celebrate the Lord in all circumstances. And lastly, the fourth movement, which really encases the entire psalm, is let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The pulpit commentary, as I was preparing this, has this exposition that I wanted to share with you all. The writer says, praise should, in its fullness and sweetness and heartiness on our part, answer to the abundance of his greatness, his excellent greatness. Praise should proceed from every lip, from every life, from the youngest who is old enough to lisp his name, to the oldest who has strength enough left to make mention of his grace, from the sick on their couch as they anticipate the time when there will be no more pain, and from the bereaved as they realize all that their departed friends were to them throughout the years of health and service, and as they look forward to the glad day of reunion, and from the strong and active in the midst of strife of life, from those who rule and from those who serve, we are all to praise the Lord. Let every breath, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. The term hallelujah, you're going to hear it a lot today. You're going to hear it a lot today. The term hallelujah, we get it from the Hebrew word in Psalm 150, which is halal. Halal. Halal, directly translated, means praise. Hallelujah adds God as the object of that praise. So we say praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise Him. That's what that means. There are two other Hebrew words that mean praise that I want to explore with you all this morning. And I want to explore them because praise is how they're translated, but their definitions can take us a lot deeper into what they mean within the context of why they're being used. Halal, for example, is also it also means to shine, to glorify, to boast. We are to glorify God above all else, not allowing anything to become an idol in our lives, but placing all credit for the good on God, for all good things come from God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, he says, "Brothers, think about your own calling. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is nonsense in the world to make the wise feel ashamed. God chose what is weak in the world to make the strong feel ashamed. And God chose what is insignificant in the world, what is despised, what is nothing, in order to destroy what is something, so that no one may boast in God's presence. It is because of God that you are in union with the Messiah Jesus, who for us has become wisdom from God, as well as our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore it is written, 'But the person who boasts must boast in the Lord.'" It's no secret that it has been since the fall that humanity has been in discord with God. We've built our own empires and we've worshipped ourselves through generations. But God is the only one who deserves praise. Truthfully, when we are consumed with the world and we're not devoted to God, then humility is a very rare thing to find. Praise is a good thing. Praise is a good thing. Praise is the act of lifting someone up. We lift up our hearts to God. We praise God for everything. We sang it all through every song this morning. We sang God's praises. We lifted Him up. We can praise our children when they succeed. We can praise our children when they succeed in academics and in sports. We can praise our spouses for their accomplishments and their successes. However, we can also twist praise. We can also receive praise, and we can use that praise to support our own arrogance. We place ourselves in the position of God and create idols of ourselves. Yet, we are called to humility. We're called to it. God uses what makes no sense in the world to humble the proud. God uses small armies to deliver Israel from the hands of major nations. God came to earth Himself as a baby, the most dependent form of a human, who grew up in Nazareth, a place considered very insignificant. He was ridiculed and was labeled as a heretic by His own people, and yet He was the Messiah who saved the world. He was the Messiah who saves you. Jesus is the only one worthy of praise. We will boast in the great goodness and the mercy of Jesus, for that is the only place that we should boast. The second word for praise is yada. Yada. This word has also been translated as to give thanks and to confess. And there's two scripture passages that I thought were really good examples of this. The first is Leviticus 5:5. It says, "When anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in any of these matters, they must confess." Yada. They must confess in what way they have sinned. And then the other way, in 2 Samuel 22:50, "Therefore I will give thanks to you," yada. "I will give thanks to you, Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name." I would say that confession and thankfulness can go hand in hand with one another. In 1 John 1:5, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. I can't think of anything that we should be more grateful for than the salvation that we receive through Jesus. I can't think of anything that we should be more grateful for. I can't imagine that there'd be anything more important than the free gift of this grace and mercy that we don't deserve, but God gives it to us anyway on the simple act of belief, not by any work of our hands. Amen. But our gratitude in many other ways must not go unshared. You woke up this morning. You drew a fresh breath of air in your lungs this morning. You get to go out of your house. You have food readily available to you. You have friends and family who surround you, who love you, and want to support you. If you're not here with us this morning, you get to join us online. It's so easy. God has provided so many things that we take for granted on a daily basis. How often do we stop and thank him for it? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul writes, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for us. It's what he wants us to do. That in all of life's circumstances, we are to take a posture of gratitude because we are in Christ. No matter what we face here on the earth, we are in Christ. When we look out at the world, we don't always see other people who are in Christ. We shouldn't be surprised when those who are not in Christ fail to be thankful for the things that they have. We shouldn't be surprised whenever we see people going through hardships and gain a hardened heart. It shouldn't surprise us. But we, church, we're different. We're different because we are in Christ. That means that it doesn't matter if we are experiencing blessing on the tallest mountain or if we are searching for blessing desperately in the deepest valley. We have hope in Jesus, and we are to be thankful for what God has done for us and what he is going to do in the future. When we go through some of our deepest spiritual formation, we go through it in a valley. God prepares us in the valleys. When we cling to Christ and we express gratitude, even when things are falling apart around us, there is always an incline at the end of the valley. God delivers us from the hands of our enemies, and our praise with gratitude ought to make the enemy's knees shake. This is why Paul can write his letters for the different churches that he planted. He can write these letters from a place like prison. He remained thankful to God. He remained grateful to God for everything in his life, in all of his circumstances. In Philippians 1:3-7, Paul writes this. He writes it from prison. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And in my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you who share in God's grace with me. Paul can write this type of devotion because of his gratitude. He remembers that it is God who has provided for him this opportunity to plant a church in Philippi. It is God who provided for him this church family that has sustained him for the several years between him writing this letter and planting that church. He remembers that it was God. It is because of God that he has gained such a great love for other people. Because Paul wasn't always called Paul, was he? Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He went after them. He wanted to bring them to justice from his perspective. But yet God turns Saul around. In the greatness of Jesus, Paul realizes that he is wrong. He repents and he recognizes Jesus as Lord. And from that repentance, Paul gains a love for people. Paul gains a love for people. Paul thanks God, and he places all attention on God, not himself. It would be easy for Paul, being in prison, to just wallow in self-pity. It'd be easy for him to do that. But that's not what he does. His gratitude shows us that Paul trusted God whether he was going to leave that prison or not. Our yada, our praise, is an act of gratitude toward God. Because he has provided for us so abundantly, we are going to say thank you. Isn't it funny how when we allow pride and self-rule to be appealing to us or valuable to us, we don't believe that there is anyone worthy of gratitude but ourselves. Look at what I did. Look at what I've built. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No. No. You're building a tower of Babel for yourself. And you need to recognize the blessings that God has given you. You can start a business. I'm not against that at all. You can start a business. You can work with all your might. But it is God who is guiding you. It is God who is providing for you and sustaining you. Give thanks to him for it. Give your business to him. Give your image to him. And just see what God does with it. This isn't a prosperity gospel, so please don't hear it that way. But this is the peace of God that gives you hope whenever the enemy has placed his sights on you. When it seems like there's no way out, God makes a way. When it seems like hope is far from being conceivable, Jesus is our hope. Aren't you grateful that the Lord has brought you through today? I'm grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord broke the chains of my sin that surrounded me for so many years. That he has provided for me in every circumstance. I'm thankful for his mercy that I don't deserve when he took that cross for me. Aren't you grateful for that cross? I'm thankful for God's protection. There have been many times throughout my life that a spiritual enemy has come to challenge me. In fact, I'm sure Pastor Todd and many other ministry leaders will attest to this. But guys, Saturdays are sometimes the most difficult days to get through spiritually. Saturdays are sometimes the most difficult days to get through spiritually because the enemy is anticipating what is going to happen on Sunday morning. The enemy is anticipating what is about to happen on Sunday morning. He does not want us to have baptisms. He does not want us to have people come and pray at the altar. He does not want us to have people declare their faith in Christ. He doesn't want it. But let me tell you the truth. Praise is our greatest weapon against our enemy. Praise is our greatest weapon. Praise is our greatest weapon because it is the perfect defense. And it invokes God to take over our offense. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he anticipates a coming battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites. And in chapter 20, verse 22, it's recorded. It says, "As they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And they were defeated." How much louder would you sing praise if you believed that God would remove your obstacles for you? How little would you care about what other people think of you if you saw that the Lord was on your side? So the third word that I want to point out to us is zamar. Zamar. It is translated as sing praise and make music. It's used in the book of Judges, and it's used repeatedly throughout the Psalms, as you can imagine. This is why we come to church on Sunday mornings and sing songs. This is why. We come to church on Sunday morning and sing songs to God. We proclaim his words through our music. And when we sing, we are collectively agreeing of God's goodness. We're agreeing of his mercy, of his love, of his power and his deeds, all of his mighty acts. Do you know what preceded 2 Chronicles 20, 22? Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord, and he instructs his people to fast while he is seeking the Lord. And here's what he did. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And here it is. As they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to God, to the Lord, for his love endures forever." This man sent musicians out ahead of the army. What battle strategist does that? None that I've ever heard of. No military general would probably do that today. But, you know, here's an idea. Let's send musicians out ahead so they can be nice and loud and let everybody know where we're at. Sounds like a good plan. No, but Jehoshaphat does this. He sent singers out ahead of the army in order to sing praise to God. And I can only imagine what some of these men were thinking as they were marching out to meet this army. Is my voice that bad? Is my voice that bad? Now, I'm only joking. But this piece of history is such a testament to the kind of God we serve. It is a testament to the kind of God we serve. By the time Jehoshaphat's army arrived on the scene, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the men of Mount Seir, they had all already killed one another before they ever had a chance to come against Judah. Our God is so great that he delivers Israel from their problem even before they have to face it for themselves. And they're the ones that get to walk away with the spoils of all three armies. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. Psalm 96, 1 through 3. Our singing to God shows him our gratitude. We celebrate all that he has done for us and what he is working to do for us even now. We may even sing songs of grief, like others that we read about in the Psalms. David wrote many of them of grief. But we're singing to them and they become prayers. I think of Job. If you've read Job, you know that Job said a whole lot of rough things to God. And we know that at the end of Job, God calls Job righteous for saying those things. Job's friends, they got on to him for saying those things. "You shouldn't say those things, Job." But God tells them to apologize to Job and under Job's authority to submit sacrifices so that they could be forgiven. But that Job was in the right. Why? Why was Job in the right? It's because all the bad things that Job said, he said them to God. He committed and bore his heart to the Lord. And it was counted to Job as righteousness. Even our songs of grief become prayers when we sing them to God. Songs reflecting our sadness and grief and struggle, they are written for the purpose of laying them at the foot of God's throne instead of trying to take them up for ourselves. We let him deal with them because he is much stronger than we are. So what is the purpose of praise? Praising God is how we participate in relationship with him. Praising God is how we participate in relationship with him. Just as we are supported by our closest friends and family, God wants the same thing from us. A skeptic may claim that God is extremely arrogant and selfish by creating a people to praise him. But that couldn't be further from the truth. God is who he has revealed himself to be in all the books of the Bible. Time and time again, he shows us that he is worthy of praise, that he is worthy of admiration and of gratitude, because God is working all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. I will boast in God's goodness and the mercy that he has shown me. I will boast in the work of his hands, and I will express my appreciation in prayer and in worship, and I will celebrate the freedom and deliverance that he has given me in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose of praise is to continually draw near to God in a relationship that is apparent to other people. Continually draw near to God in a relationship that is apparent to other people, not hidden. It's not just a personal faith. God knows us personally, 100%. But this is not a faith that we are to keep to ourselves. How would you describe your life of praise today? Is it loud and confident in God? Or is it weak and disinterested? Maybe you're struggling to see the good things in your life right now, but you need to know that there is a good God who is working for your good. Your struggle is not meant to break you. It's meant to strengthen you. There is nothing on earth, good or bad, that could possibly compare to the gift we receive of heaven. Paul wrote in Romans 8, 18 through 21, he said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God." In your struggle, remember that there is a place for you in glory, and the one who has prepared it for you is worthy of glorifying. He's worthy of our gratitude, and he is worthy of all the musical praise we can muster. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to come and receive communion in just a couple of minutes. And I want to encourage you to remember why we have the cup and why we have the bread. Because it means nothing unless we're grateful for it. It means absolutely nothing unless we understand the sacrifice that Jesus paid in order for us to have it. Are you grateful for that cross today? For that shedding of blood and the breaking of the body? Amen.
Thank you so much, JT. What a beautiful reminder of how we all need to praise the Lord for everything he's given us. Most of all, for our salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might have life and life everlasting. And this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you're here and you would like to come and receive Christ into your heart, it would be my privilege to pray with you a prayer to get you started on this journey. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've gotten off track and you become complacent in your faith. And today, you want to come back to him and say, "Lord, I want to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor that you richly deserve." Or maybe you've been visiting this church and you want to be a part of what God is doing here. God is working. You want to join him in that work and become a member. However the Holy Spirit leads, I invite you to come as we stand and sing this hymn of commitment. Won't you come?
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Grace to play. garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
For a moment, today is a very special day that we worship and praise the Lord. It's a time that we can share around the Lord's table. There's a beautiful passage of Scripture I'd like to share with you found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm so grateful today that we can have a message of praise, a message of joy, a message of unity, a message of reflection, a message of anticipation. That's why Jesus came into the world, to give us salvation and to know he's coming back again. And we are to anticipate what a special time that will be. But we remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus did, pay it all for you and for me. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to take your cup. And if you would pull the top open, you'll find a wafer. And I would like to lead us in a blessing for this bread. May we pray together. God, thank you so much for your body that was broken for us. Thank you that you would love us so much that you would die for us so that we might have life. So God, as we take this bread as a symbol of your body, may we always be thankful and praise you, from whom all blessings flow. So, Father, we love you, and we remember what you did for us, both now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, whenever you eat this bread, to do this in remembrance of me. And after they ate the bread, they took the cup. May we go to the Lord in prayer. God, we once again think about this cup and what it represents. Your blood that was shed for our sins. And we know, God, that your love covers a multitude of our sins. Thank you, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, O God, for the hope that we have beyond the grave. Because of the empty tomb, we too have the hope of eternal life. Thank you, O God. Bless this cup as we drink it in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said that this cup is a new cup and covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. I want to thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. JT, thank you so much for your message, reminding us of the importance of praise and at the conclusion of the service, would you mind to go out in the foyer so people could come by and encourage you? And thank you for being here and allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. If you're a guest, please come back, worship with us again. We always love seeing all of you in this place. Don't forget, tonight we have children's activities, youth activities, small group, discipleship study, something for everyone. We invite you to come back 6 o'clock tonight. And again, we hope you'll sign up to be a part of all of our Wednesday night activities as well. But I'm so glad you were here today. Thank you for coming to share part of your fall break. I know we have folks still traveling, and some of you all, welcome home. We're glad to see all of you, and we're going to stand at this time, and we're going to close out by singing and then praying. So, Sean, if you would, lead us.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. And Father, I pray today that we would all leave praising you and thanking you for the hope we have in Christ, and that we would have attitudes of gratitude that would not only change our lives, but those around us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.